Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, welcome everyone to Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church, and thanks for coming out on this beautiful evening to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Of course, we're in California, this would be beautiful, and they need the rain. Just going to point out a couple of announcements. I'm not going to do all of these. Just remind you to hold your communion elements until we're all served, and the loose offering will go to the session for their work. And you do not have to be a member of Glenshell Valley Presbyterian Church to receive communion. We just ask that you are a believer in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Go to the back page. Christian Education is sponsoring an annual Easter brunch, an Easter egg hunt this Sunday at 9:30. And then on the 19th, there'll be a recognition of the acolytes. And Valley Garden reminder, if you want a plot, you need to get it in by the 12th. And the Women's Association needs volunteers in the kitchen on a Wednesday and a Thursday. They'll prepare on Wednesday. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And one thing I meant to say, I want to welcome Dan here again with us, and Sean on guitar, and thank them for being here. Of course, Mickey in the choir also. In the cross of Christ thy glory, 184. Worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we are eternally grateful for communion. We appreciate what the Lord's Supper means to us. Forgive us when we come before you with sin in our hearts. Help us to take our faith seriously. Remind us that we need to tell others about your sacrifice for humanity. Show us how to act like the family of God. May we live beneath the cross and before the empty grave. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all take a moment to bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with other churches in our community as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment to greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, be sure to ask them.
Thank you.
Our responsive reading on 718 in the Red Hymnals, a contemporary affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God the Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love over hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of right, to the end of the earth, to the end of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
This time, invite the elder on the door to come forth in your prayer of praise request.
Good evening. Tonight we have a prayer request from Jenny Reinhardt for her great 2-month-old great grandson Nicholas, who is unfortunately currently in Children's Hospital in the ICU with pneumonia. And another prayer request from Nancy Tavey for John Tuttle of Saxonburg Boulevard, who passed away last night. He will be at Perman's Funeral Home Monday, visiting hours. Funeral as it will be on Tuesday. She's requesting prayers for his wife and family. I'm going to also have a prayer request for my 17-year-old cousin Hope, who was physically assaulted and is currently in the hospital. Thank you.
I'll point out a couple of things on the hospitalized concerns. I just caught this. It says Millie Max in St. Margaret. She was in St. Margaret. She's now in hospice care. And I was just there serving communion to Sandy and Rich, her son, up from Wilmington. The life of me, I can't recall the name of it right now, but it's just off of 40th and Fisk. And Canterbury. Thank you, Canterbury. Thank you. Isabel Mellinger, it's not actually Cabot Hospice. That's what I told them it was. That's what the family told me. It's actually Good Samaritan Hospice in Cabot, PA. I just want to point those out. And, let's just make sure we pray for all these persons and one listed in our valley. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. And we thank you for your love, your goodness, your kindness, your mercy, the salvation that we find through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, we're able to come to you in prayer in his name, to present all of our needs, our wants, our desires, everything about us, our family, our friends, our country, even the entire world. So we bring these prayers to you tonight, thanking you for hearing us and answering them according to your goodness. Help us to reach out to one another and feel as though we are family, and that we show each other love and dignity and respect, not just within Glenshaw Valley, but the Christian community in general, and our neighbors, our family, even people that we may have problems with. Help us to reach out to them in the love that Jesus would want us to. And we thank you that before he left, he gave us this wonderful prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
A hymn of preparation. Come Share the Lord is the screen song, maybe new for some of us. Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for us, our families, for the world, all those that accept him as Lord and Savior. All the gifts that have been brought here tonight, music, gifts, prayer, praise, finances, love, everything that we in this congregation give, may we always give in your name, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these people. In the precious name of our Lord, we do pray. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight's scripture is Matthew 26, 17 through 30. On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I'll tell you the truth. One of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. it would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I'll tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Bless the reading and hearing of this scripture.
Thank you, Paul, for volunteering at the last second there. Appreciate it. There are many differences in the body of Christ about how the Lord's Supper should be served and even what it means. Priscilla Larson's brother-in-law serves as a pastor in a denomination like ours, usually does not use wine, but uses grape juice. And of course, being a Protestant denomination, they do not believe that the wine and the bread actually transform into the body and blood of Jesus. One day, Priscilla Larson's brother-in-law responded to a Red Cross appeal for a blood donation. When he didn't come home by the time the young son expected him to come, the boy asked his mother, "Dad, is Dad going around visiting all the sick people?" And his mother replied, "He's giving blood." The little boy thought for a moment and said, "But we all know that it's really grape juice, don't we?" You got to think on that one for a second. His confusion is both charming and quite natural. The Lord's Supper is an event unique to the Christian community and is poorly understood by many people. "This is my body, this is my blood." No wonder the early Christians were viewed with suspicion by their neighbors. Think about it. You're eating your founder's flesh and drinking his blood. Taken literally, this would be cause for alarm, and it was alarming to those on the outside looking in. Lord's Supper is still a deep mystery to the casual observer. How should we understand this uniquely Christian ceremony? What does it mean to us? You know, of course, that the Lord's Supper is related to the Jewish celebration of Passover. In that sense, it is not entirely unique. There are many differences between the two, but they are related to one another. David Howick tells about a Jewish man named Moshe Rosen, who was converted to faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah. And he went to a Baptist church for his first communion service on a Sunday. Since he had never taken it, he thought maybe, well, they had told him that it's like the Passover. And Moshe got all excited because Passover was a big deal and they would have a big feast at this time. So at the very beginning of the service, the deacons in their church, the deacons passed out chunks of bread, very tiny chunks. Then a thimble filled with juice came around. Moshe's stomach was growling, but no food was in sight, so he was wondering what in the world is going on. And service ended, and he was very disappointed. Communion was nothing in his mind like Passover at all. And on the service, there are profound differences, but that does not mean that they are not related. When Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, it was probably a complete Passover meal that they ate together. And it was clear that Christ intended this celebration to be a continuation of that sacred event. So let me refresh you about the Passover, though most of you probably know about it. It's familiar territory. The children of Israel have resided in Israel for 430 years. Their situation had slowly deteriorated from the time of Joseph, and they had now become slaves. But God sent a man named Moses to liberate them. There stood Moses in front of Pharaoh, saying, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh's heart, as we know, was hardened. Then God sent 10 plagues, the water of the Nile changed to blood. There were plagues of frogs and gnats and flies. Then all the livestock of the Egyptians began dying. Then there were boils and hail and locusts and darkness. And then all the other options were exhausted. God took the firstborn males of all the Egyptians. How many males here are firstborn like I am? Don't be afraid to raise your hand. You're not going to die. There's several of us here. And that would greatly cut in to our congregation if that happens. You can imagine what it was like for the whole population of the Egyptians. You can see what impact that would have on the community. The firstborn sons of the Egyptians were taken, but the firstborn sons of the Israelites were spared. How were they spared? The blood of a sacrificial lamb was smeared over the doors of their homes, and the blood of the lamb became central to the celebration of the Passover. And it was central to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. What did John the Baptist say when he introduced Jesus to his followers? Behold, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sins of the world. Many people today are offended by the so-called blood theology, and they don't even want to sing any songs about blood. But it is rooted in the Old Testament concept of a lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world to provide protection and salvation for the people of God. This is to say that this is a Christ-centered event. The sacrament is a reminder to us that we are not merely a social club. Neither are we primarily a service organization. We're those who have been redeemed by the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a married couple who had a very good marriage and they had a beautiful young daughter. But the daughter was killed. And this seemed to destroy the happiness, as you can imagine, within the home. And their hearts were grieved, and like many couples who experienced this kind of tragedy, this was a severe strain on their marital relationship. As time passed, the husband and wife grew apart. Their love for each other just wasn't the same anymore since their little daughter was killed. And finally their love just turned cold, just very icy cold. A bitter hatred even came between the two. And finally they agreed to separate and to divorce. And as they were in their home one day going over the various items to separate, who would take this and who would take that, what they had accumulated during their marriage, they got tired and they sat down for a moment. And their eyes fell upon a pair of little red shoes which belonged to their little daughter. This reminder of this precious daughter began to soften their hearts. And before long, they were weeping together in tenderness. God used those little red shoes to put their relationship back together and see the mistake that they were about to make. Their marriage was saved. That little reminder, those little red shoes, seemed to be the turning point in their lives. The bread and the cup which we take the bread and the cup from which we take this night, in a sense, are our little red shoes. They remind us of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. We are those who acknowledge that we are sinners saved by the grace of God poured out in Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is connected to the Passover. It is a reminder to us of the lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. As such, it is ultimately a Christ-centered event, but it also reminds us of our connection to one another. This is, when we take communion, a family celebration. Communion is not really meant to be taken alone. The Lord's Supper is best understood as a communal event, a celebration by the whole community of saints. The very word communion refers not only to our individual relationship with God, but also our relationship with those with whom we worship. We are a family. We are a bit dysfunctional at times, as all families can be, but we are joined together by the body of Christ. Dr. Paul Brand tells about an Arabic Baptist church in Israel that had a very unique way of celebrating the Lord's Supper. When they came together, each member would bring, that night when they came in, a handful of wheat grains, and they would put it in a basket when they entered the church. And when they all came together for the worship, some of the members would sneak out, or not sneak out, but they would go to the kitchen, grind up those grains and, excuse me, grind up the wheat like in a stone mill, mix it with water and salt, and knead the flour into a loaf, and then it's put into an already heated oven. By the time the service is ready for the communion, the loaf is ready. And each member breaks off, when it comes around, their portion of that loaf. He or she is sharing grains of flour from each member of the church, a sense of community. When asked why they do this, one member replied, as individual seeds, we're each alone and separated from each other. Only when we are broken into flour and baked together can we experience full fellowship. The small church has discovered a very unique way of celebrating the Lord's Supper, and an understanding that I think we need to make sure we understand as the body of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. This means that the culture inside these walls is different from the culture outside of these walls in the world. Competition always needs to be replaced by cooperation. Looking out for number one is replaced by loving God and loving our neighbor and our church family. And we are a family, the family of Christ. The blood of the Lamb has been spread over our door. It is the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We have gathered this evening to feast on Him, not as strangers, but as family. And thus we take the bread and the cup. So let the feast begin. And as we get ready, I don't think I made this announcement, but some people may not know. Isabel Lanzino, one of our members, passed away, and I performed that service today. So let's remember her and her family also. Sorry. Break Thou the Bread of Life, 274, verses 1 and 2. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this evening, we come to You many times broken, realizing that even though we've been saved by Christ and our sin forgiven and promise of eternal life, we still commit sins. We still go against Your word, against the calling that You have put in our lives. And we ask for Your forgiveness, that we can come to this table worthy tonight, not so much because of us, but because of what You have done for us. but at the same time, we want to do our best and be the best for you. As we receive communion tonight, may it touch our lives in a very special and unique way. May we be reminded of who you are and what you have done for us, and that we are your church, those called out of the world, called to be the family of God. We thank you for every blessing, all that you do for us. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Let us with reverence and a sense of unity remember our Lord's sacrifice. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took a cup of the New Testament for you, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." As they went out, they came upon a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. This man was compelled to carry his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mingled with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." A hymn of response, 181, "Were You There?" verses 1, 2, and 3.